Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is another edition of Rico Bronya. How are we all doing today? I'm Evan Roberts. We got a lot to talk about. Now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. If you are looking for a breakdown of what's gone on up in Toronto, I would say tune into the next episode of the Rico. We'll do our traditional series recap. I was at game one at Rogers Center, a game that they lost 2-1. We'll talk about game two, a 3-0 Mets victory as Nolan McLean delivered 6 scoreless innings. And we'll talk about the rubber game of the 3-game series that takes place on Wednesday afternoon. So if you want to hear your normal Rico breakdown of Mets Blue Jays, you're going to get that on the next episode. What we're doing on this episode is listening to Eric Chavez. So the other day, I guess after the Mets fired Carlos Mendoza, Eric Chavez went on his podcast and gave a lot of opinions about the Mets and David Stearns and whatnot. And I was trying to rack my brain because I remember during the offseason talking a little bit about Chavez, about some of the comments he made about the coaches being fired. And there were a lot of outspoken things that he said. I honestly don't remember what they were. I just remember that during the offseason we talked briefly about it. I had my natural reaction before actually listening to him, and I want to be fair about that. My natural reaction was, who cares? He's probably a bitter former employee. But then I realized, and I saw this in the email interest that we got from people emailing the RicoB@gmail.com who said, hey, Evan, what do you think of what Chavez said? What do you think of what Chavez said? You should do a Rico on what Eric Chavez said. So I decided to actually listen to what Eric Chavez said. I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of it too, we have our kind of preconceived notions. Like for me, it was, oh yeah, I remember Eric Chavez during the offseason. He seemed kind of bitter. Why would I care what he has to say? That's not necessarily fair. I should listen to the guy, especially with the season going the way it's going and him being a part of a coaching staff with Carlos Mendoza and even before that, Buck Showalter. And why not listen? And then after listening to what he has to say, it's certainly possible I'll come to the conclusion that he's a bitter former coach, or maybe we can take a lot of lessons from it. So what I decided to do here on today's Rico is I listened to everything he said on his podcast. I think he calls it EC3. And then he did an interview with the former players, Foul Territory. The Foul Territory one was basically like regurgitating what he had already said. So I didn't take a lot of clips from that. I took mostly the clips from his original podcast. And what I decided to do was pull what I thought was interesting. Now, maybe you out there will disagree and there's something I missed. Totally fine. You can email us, therico@gmail.com, and say, hey, Evan, how'd you miss this comment? But I took what I found interesting. We're going to play it so you'll have a chance to hear it. And I'll give you my opinion. Some of it may be on Eric Chavez's side. Some of it may not be. I don't know. You're going to have to listen to the Rico to find out. So I got 7 clips. And I want to start off with what I thought was important because it kind of set the tone for the relationship that Eric Chavez was going to have with David Stearns. Now, remember, Chavez was on the Met coaching staff under Buck Showalter. Buck gets fired. David Stearns takes over. And a few of the coaches remained, including Eric Chavez. Another one was Jeremy Hefner, who survived kind of that change in front office and change in manager from Buck to Mendy. So this is Eric Chavez talking about retaining sort of his job by continuing to work with Carlos Mendoza. Here's clip number one. Let's take a listen to Eric Chavez.
He was hired. Carlos decides he wants me on staff. He wants me to be a hitting coach. Great, cool, whatever. This is me after becoming a bench coach, right? Which I had aspirations of managing. Bench coach was where I really wanted to be. And I said, Carlos, I want to be on your staff. Whatever you need me to do, let's go.
The clip is playing.
So Stearns calls me, and we're talking about my salary. And as a bench coach, I had a certain salary. And he goes, well, I'm going to have you take a pay cut this year because you're – and I'm going to my – to me, that's the first – and we're not talking about like – we're talking about $30,000, $40,000, right? For me, it's not the money. For me, it's the message you're sending, right? You just came off of a $50 million deal, right? The Mets aren't struggling for money, and you're going to ask me to take a pay cut. How about just say, hey, we're going to keep your salary the same. We're happy you're on staff.
That's 100%.
Let's go, right?
How you handle people.
So that was red flag number one.
We're good. Yeah, so I'm going to listen along on my end just so I remember what he said. This one kind of read to me like he's upset about his pay cut, which I got to admit, when I hear this story and I get where he's coming from, like I'm not even saying Eric Chavez is wrong for being upset that David Stearns basically said, make less money, take less money, we're giving you a different job. But to me, listening to this kind of set the tone that, unlike David Stearns, that he was kind of pissed off from jump about the fact that his new job was a demotion and he was going to take less money, which is normal. I mean, if you're being demoted, there's a damn good chance you're going to make less money. So I listen to this and my reaction was, I'm now almost going to be skeptical of everything else that's talked about because he's letting you know, and I appreciate the honesty from Chavez, he's letting you know right from jump, I didn't get off to a good start with him because we talked about salary and he basically said, make less money. Hoff, do you agree? Are you reading that the wrong way? That right off jump, you can tell that Eric Chavez is going to have a negative view over David Stearns because of this?
I mean, when you're talking about, it's not a significant amount of money, like he said, but it's still a decent amount. Yeah, there's going to be a problem there. You know, that he got a demotion, but really wasn't supposed to. And yeah, it was just, he has an issue with David Stearns. So do I.
And that's the thing. Like, I play this clip first, not to basically tell you that everything else Eric Chavez says is going to be yes, because that's not true. But I think it sets the tone. He does not like him. Like, right from jump, he had a bad starting off period with David Stearns. And you have to keep that in the back of your mind. Now, I don't love the job that David Stearns has done. Obviously, you haven't either, Hoff. But what we have to try to do, we don't have to, but I'm going to try to do, is be fair. Like, take your preconceived notions about what you want to be true about David Stearns and just listen, but also understand he clearly showed you in this first clip he's coming from a place in which he's bitter. If you get off to a bad start with a boss, there's a really good chance it's going to end badly. So I wanted to play that because that jumped out at me. I'm trying to be a regular guy listening to this thing. I'm not trying to have, you know, preconceived notions about Eric Chavez. Well, why would I? Here's the clip that's going to get a lot of attention. It already has. His Juan Soto story. Take a listen.
I love Juan, by the way. Juan will give you the shirt off his back. I think he's one of the coolest human beings. Just a really good person. But he struggled the first 2 months emotionally, right? And I don't blame him. Big move going from the Yankees. Maybe had a little bit of buyer's remorse. It's all going to work out. Juan's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, I even tabbed him to be an MVP type of player, and he's going off. Like, he's hitting wise, he's unreal. But he struggled. And in between innings, he would run from the outfield and go sit in the batting cage on a couch and not be in the dugout with a teammate, right? And like I said, I'm not throwing Juan. This isn't a Juan issue, right? This is a leadership, lack of leadership, lack of accountability from the top down. And we had an assistant GM who would sit there with him. The assistant GM would sit there with him and kind of coddle him and, you know, tap him on the shoulder without saying, hey, dude, How about getting in the dugout with your teammates, right?
Yeah.
And so I brought this up to Stearns. And I said, this is a huge problem because now younger players, who we have younger players on the team, they're seeing this. And your guys are allowing this. And he goes, well, those players need to learn that they're not Juan Soto.
So the clip is done, Hoff. I just want to confirm because I am listening to the clips kind of like on my own so I can hear what's being said. All right. So this is the clip that got a lot of attention. I have two major questions that come out of it. Number one, is it abnormal? I don't know. I am not a Major League Baseball player, nor have I ever pretended to be one. Is it abnormal for a player to spend a half inning or time in the batting cage in the middle of a game? Is that really abnormal? Like, we hear that Shohei Ohtani does that. Now, granted, that's as a designated hitter, so maybe it's more normal for a DH to be kind of disappearing for innings at a time, to working on their craft offensively so they can be ready for their next at-bat. But number one, this is honestly the first thing that came into my mind. It's not to defend Juan Soto. It's not to rip Eric Chavez. The number one thing that jumped into my mind was, is this actually abnormal? Now, the fact that Eric Chavez, who is a former all-star caliber major leaguer, is saying it bothered him would lead me to think, okay, maybe it is a little bit abnormal. But my first reaction was, that doesn't sound that crazy. It doesn't sound nuts for a Major League Baseball player, a great hitter, especially with all the tape that we have now and all the practice that goes on and all the checking out the iPads and hearing about designated hitters working out in the cages underneath. It didn't sound that crazy. Like, I heard the story and I was like, okay, what does that mean? But the second thing that jumped out at me was, isn't that on the manager? Like, I hear this story from Eric Chavez, and I'm not going to blame him because I know that one of the reactions will be, well, what about you? You're Eric effing Chavez. Why don't you say something to Juan Soto? I get it. He's a hitting coach. Maybe he doesn't feel like, despite the resume, he has the gravitas or the salary to question why Juan Soto's doing that in the middle of the game. Okay, fine. What is the manager there for? Isn't the manager the one who is supposed to, hey, take him aside and say, hey, listen, man, you're a great player. I know you're working on your craft, but you're sending a bad message to some of the younger guys on the roster. I hear this story by Eric Chavez, and my reaction is, wow, you're crapping on Carlos Mendoza. Meanwhile, he's not trying to crap on Carlos Mendoza. He's trying to crap on David Stearns, which, trust me, there's plenty to crap on David Stearns about. But you tell me, Hoff, this will be your test on being honest and fair. When you hear this story, okay, and let's just take it at face value that it isn't normal for a position player, for Juan Soto to be disappearing for an inning at a time. Let's just accept that, even if I'm not sure if that's true. Wouldn't you say that it's on the manager to say something and not freaking the team president, David Stearns?
Well, I'll give you two things here, okay? And I'm going to be transparent because he's coming from now, he's the batting coach. He's not the bench coach anymore, right?
Right.
And maybe he's trying to get used to how Stearns does things. So maybe he wants to position it to Stearns and say, hey, I don't want to overmanage. I don't want to tell Mendoza what to do. What would you be in this? What would you do in this situation? Almost like read the room. Sometimes you have higher level bosses that you just like, I want to get a feel for what you want to do in the situation. Because if it's no big deal, then whatever, I'll walk away. And I think he got his answer. But you're right. This is a Carlos Mendoza issue. And this is why, remember when we talked about this, where the politics and stuff like that, Mendoza was like, I never even knew that was a thing. Like, people talked about that. Maybe this really was going on the whole time. And Mendoza was just clueless. That makes me think that, like, he's not as in touch with this roster as much as we thought.
In fairness, and I did not pull this clip, but listening to Eric Chavez, if we're going to believe him, he basically said that that politics stuff was not true, that the locker room was not an issue. So you start to hear more and say that really wasn't a thing. I mean, guys may have disagreed or wives may have disagreed about politics, but clearly enough people have come out to say there's just no validity to it, that maybe we have to just admit there wasn't much to it. Like, that just wasn't a thing. Because Eric Chavez was ready to light everything on fire here. He very well could have said, oh, yeah, that was a thing. He denied that being an issue in the room.
Right. But what I did, what I have been told, and it's funny, I just had a conversation not with Chavez at all, but with somebody else. And before I even heard about the Chavez stuff, this guy was telling me, yeah, Soto's a guy that just is to himself. You know, that's
But we've always heard that. I mean, that's something that we heard from the Yankee days, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. What I remember early in the season when Francisco Lindor forgot how many outs there were. One of the things I suggested on the Fan and here on the Rico was kind of what Greg Popovich used to do to Tim Duncan, which is send a message to Lindor, even if you're not really mad at Lindor, use that as a moment to call Lindor out, not because you're actually pissed off at him forgetting how many outs there are, but because it sends a message to the rest of the team that, hey, if I'm getting on Francisco Lindor, I can get on everybody. So that, I guess, is another example where if Mendy was a stronger leader, or they had a stronger leader, or there was another veteran in that room who I guess had the gravitas to do it, you would use Soto as an example. Because as Eric Chavez said, hey, if you're saying Juan Soto can't do something, then that would be a message to everybody else. I just think he tried to pin this on David Stearns. This whole story, this Juan Soto discussion, which is interesting, I don't think it lays at the feet of David Stearns. I think he doesn't like David Stearns, which is clear. I think he took something which is a potential real issue and put it to somebody who I don't think is the person to blame for it.
No, I think it's obviously something that bothered Chavez, which is why he's speaking about it. This is just seems to be something that he's, hey, this is the stuff that bothered me about the Mets. This is what went wrong.
Yes.
And I think even though we said, I love Soto, he'll give you the shirt off his back, I don't like how he sits, you know, and is not with the team and all this other stuff. So it's just a laundry list of complaints.
Listen to this clip, because I thought this was really interesting. It's a little bit long. It's about 2 minutes long, but it's Eric Chavez telling a story, and it's going to relate to Soto, so hear it out through, about how Billy Beane, the former general manager of the Oakland A's, reamed Eric Chavez out for not running a ball out. So he tells this story and how it could potentially kind of relate to Juan Soto. Take a listen.
I'm first and a double play ball routine, and I go to second, I veer off. And I'm running back into the dugout, and I'm getting towards, it's a long walk in Oakland.
Yeah.
And I see Billy Beane walking down, and he goes, come here. This is during the game. He takes me upstairs and he goes, what the fuck are you doing? I go, what are you talking about? He's like, why didn't you go hard in a second? I go, I don't know. I just didn't want to, you know. And he goes, you know what? Derek Jeter runs hard every single play. Every play. Why can't you? And I was like, this is in the middle of the game.
It's crazy.
Right? Yeah. So I go back and I'm like, you know, of course my butt's hurt. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. It's a routine double play. And I'm sitting in the game and I'm trying to process this. And so I go back up after the game, and he goes, let me show you some video. And he has video ready to go of Derek hustling on a routine little chopper back to the pitcher. And it just hit home with me, right? And I'm like, that's backbone. That's leadership. You don't veer away from your top guys. You attack them. You challenge them. You build them up. Whatever it is you need to do, because that's the example that's clubhouse culture. That's chemistry, is when your best players do it, right? And that's why Derek is so revered, because he played every single day. He played hard. He played the game right. He was a winner. He got hits when it mattered. And, you know, I took that, and it sunk home with me. You know what I mean? It's like, and that was what Juan needed at that moment, right? And he was kind of allowed to kind of do his thing. And, you know, we had players kind of take that same thing during the year, and that was kind of the dysfunction that was going on, part of the problem. And as leaders, you have to be, you can't be afraid of hitting situations on, even though you might offend your best player, you know, your best pitcher. You got to challenge them a little bit. And players that are good at some point in their lives have always been met with challenges that they've overcome, right? And that's what makes them better.
Yeah.
It's a great, great story. I love the story. That's why I pulled it, because I think it's awesome. I think Billy Bean, and I know Billy Bean gets a lot of crap because of the movie and the fact that they never mentioned Tim Hudson and Mark Mulder and Barry Zito and all that. But I think Billy Bean is very unique. I think that story is unique to Billy Bean. Like, to say, how come David Stearns doesn't ream out his players? I mean, come on, dude. Do we honestly think that David Stearns, we know what he looks like. We know what he sounds like. He's the smartest guy in the room. Does anyone think he's the guy to deliver that message? Does Brian Cashman do that? I don't think so. I really don't. So again, I think it's a great story, and I think it's a very interesting point. I think to put that at the feet of David Stearns is not necessarily right. Now, a lot of what Chavez talked about, and I didn't include it because I think it's just opinions. It's like my opinion or your opinion or everyone's listening opinion, which is the moves that he's made, the moves that haven't worked out. And that's not really debatable. The moves haven't worked out. There's a reason why the Mets are where they are. That's completely fair. And that is at the feet of David Stearns. But again, I think it's a great story. And I get the idea of sending a message to Juan Soto. It's what I talked about earlier about what Greg Popovich used to do to Tim Duncan. But overall, I think laying that at the feet of David Stearns and saying, that's what real leadership does. Come on, man. That, how many team presidents are doing that? How many team presidents or general managers are the ones doing that? That needs to be in the room. And the more you hear Eric Chavez, the more you think the next manager, A, needs to be a guy with experience, a guy who's done the job before, and a guy who's not afraid to get in his players' faces, if that's what you think a guy like Soto or this room needs. I'll tell you right now, we've got more clips of Eric Chavez. If you weren't in on Alex Cora before, how can you not be now? Because based on what this room needs, based on someone who was in that room, wouldn't you think it would be a strong personality like Alex Cora? But this next clip, this is good. This is a legitimate "you got me" critique on David Stearns. It's about a minute and a half long, and it's about the hitting philosophies, the difference between the hitting philosophies in the minor leagues versus what Eric Chavez was teaching and how they started to butt heads. Take a listen.
I had players coming up from AAA telling me that the hitting coach was telling players that the only way they can get to the big leagues is to pull the ball in the air and try to hit homers, right? And so, okay, and the reason why this hit hard for me is because the hitting part is a reflection on me, right? So I can't control, you know, what somebody else's thoughts, what they're telling our players, and they come up, and I'm like, no, I don't want that. I want the broken bat hit to the opposite way for the game-winning hit. I don't need three-run homers and guys trying to hit homers where, you know, offensively, and we look at the game offensively, it's probably at its lowest, and there's reasons for that.
Sure.
Philosophies are a big part of that. And so I went and I sent an email to the whole minor league staff. I didn't address that coach specifically, and I just said, hey, I'm hearing from players that this is what we're teaching. And I said, I adamantly disagree with this. I think we're doing a disjustice to the organization and the players. And obviously, David reads all the emails, so he calls me in. And he tells me that, you know, what did you mean by that? And I went and I told him. I said, I don't agree in that philosophy. I want guys to just be good hitters. And
the power will come.
You know, yeah, and you talk to any great player. None of them talk about hitting home runs. None of them talking about pulling the ball, right? It's stay up the middle, get a good pitch to hit, you know, have a consistent path to the ball. And I said, I disagree with this. He goes, well, I don't.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, so this is a problem. Of all the things we've played so far, and it's not going to get the most attention, totally get it, it's not as sexy, it's not headline worthy, this is a major issue with the way their organization is run. Now, I'm not even going to get involved in the old school versus new school debate on hitting philosophies, because the only thing I honestly know about hitting is that I couldn't do it. Okay, so this isn't even about me, Evan Roberts, a career 075 hitter in high school, chiming in on the way hitters should be taught. This is more, you're telling me you got a team president and you've got a minor league system that's teaching one philosophy, whether you think it's right or wrong, whatever, one philosophy, and the hitting coach at the major league level, who should probably have a little bit of authority, because if you get to the major leagues, he's the guy you're working with. He's the guy that's helping you. He's the guy that's guiding you. You're telling me they've got completely diametrically opposed opinions on hitting? Dude, that is a major problem. And as the president of baseball operations, whether we like it or not, you got to have a consistent philosophy. You can't have guys getting to the major leagues pursuing launch angle, and then they get to the major leagues and Eric Chavez is like, what are you doing? Chop that one into the ground. So I thought that what was so fascinating about that answer isn't about what side are you on. It's about the fact that that sounds like an organization that just doesn't have a consistent philosophy. That's a problem. That's a major, major problem. I think of all the things and all the criticisms that he has laid out at the Mets organization and specifically the president of baseball operations, I thought that was the strongest one, because, you know, they're emailing each other and David's like, well, I disagree with you. And Chavez is like, well, I disagree with you. I'm not going to listen to what your younger minor league coaches are saying. Well, then how is Eric Chavez still the hitting coach? And I think he'd even understand that. He would get to die on his sword in what he believes in. But that kind of disconnect, that's a major, major problem. At least I heard that as a major, major problem. The other critique he had on David, and I brought this up, not about Chavez, not about the coaching staff, but I brought up a term called bedside manner in terms of the way this front office handled free agents, specifically Edwin Diaz. And I know that so far that one is the move that's worked out pretty well. Diaz goes to LA, he struggles, he gets hurt, he's involved in cockfighting, which apparently isn't an issue if you're a Dodger, but would be an issue if you're a Met, and Devin Williams, for the most part, has pitched well. So forget for a second how that's worked out. My criticism back in December was when they signed Devin Williams, maybe they needed to have better bedside manner with Diaz to make clear, we still want you back. Just because we signed a closer and just because we're paying him a lot of money, we still love you. Same thing with Pete Alonso. Like, they never spoke to him. So as an outsider, as just a Met fan doing the Rico, it felt like David Stearns didn't exactly have the best bedside manner. Well, here is Eric Chavez discussing the firing of himself and really the way David Stearns handled it. Take a listen.
My conversation, though, when it ended with David, and this was, you know, kind of an issue that I had with him, was it was just very quick. You know, it was, hey, we're going to move on. I said, okay, great. And then that was it. There wasn't, you know, for me, like the lack of the human part of what we do emotionally. And you guys, I mean, you guys know, like, coaches, like, the amount of hours that they put in, it's very thankless. And especially from the hitting department. I mean, I was in that cage from 2 o'clock till 6:30. And sometimes even after the game, guys would want to hit. So you're full on emotionally committed, physically. The season is a monster. We're away from family. So for, you know, for somebody, especially in my position that I've been in this game for a really, really long time. Like, I've, you know, even when I was done playing, you know, I was in front offices, I was getting to know the analytical part of the game and diving into it. And to have that conversation just be like, you know, hey, thanks for your hard work, whatever it is. Like, there was no hard feelings. Like, we all know the saying in the game is you get hired to get fired. Like, it's inevitable. We all have, you know, our kind of timing that it's going to run out. But, you know, I just felt like that staff there, you know, with the Hefner. Now you look at Hefner, you look at Antoine Richardson over in Atlanta, and they're excelling, right? You just let go really, really good proven coaches. Antoine Richardson is probably one of the best first base coaches, one of the smartest people that I've ever been around. You know, if you were going to keep anybody, that was definitely the guy to keep. And, you know, I would have easily taken it, you know, I would have been the guy that had been fired. Fire me. But there was too many other good people that have kind of been in this game, and some friends of mine. And it's just, you know, the game, they just got done, you know, not the right way. And sometimes that's the way it goes.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So I'm more concerned about the bedside manner when it involves the free agents we talked about, but I could understand that critique, you know, almost, all right, you're firing me. I get why you're firing me. There could have been a little bit more of, you know, the human touch when you decided to fire my ass. That's basically what Eric Chavez is saying. But the last part of that is the red meat that I think Met fans will agree to, which is, okay, fine, you deserve to be fired. How did they lose Anton Richardson? I don't think Jeremy Hefner was necessarily what everybody said during the offseason. It was almost like this understandable change based on the collapse of last year. That, all right, Jeremy's been here for a long time. Why is he Teflon? I remember taking emails about that during the collapse of last season, especially in the second half when the pitching was really struggling. But Anton Richardson was really the loss that made us as Met fans scratch our head and say, how do you lose him? But the critique is David Stearns doesn't have great bedside manner. And I can see that. We can see that from afar. Two more things I found really interesting. Again, didn't get that much of attention concerning Eric Chavez and his little critique of the New York Mets, one of which really pissed me off. And that was about how if the Mets are going to be so big on run prevention and so big on defense, and you believe defense is so freaking important, here is Eric Chavez claiming, if that's truly how the Mets feel, Juan Soto should be taken out of games late for defense. Take a listen to this load of crap.
The defense is a big deal for you, you know, and he's a below average outfielder. How do you not have the backbone to substitute him late in the games for defense, right? Because it happens with every other player, but are you afraid of, you know, hurting his feelings? You know, because if you go all in on something, go all in, right? Put your best defensive team, if that's your philosophy. I think that's overplayed where they make a defensive substitution late. But if that's the way you're going, let's do it and make your defense better in the eighth and ninth inning.
This really set me off. Can I tell you why? This is such a childish thing to say. I have my son with me, so I don't want to pick on him, or I could ask him to make an example of it. But it's like me saying, hey, Jet, you have to eat your vegetables tonight. And instead, like, he takes that and says, oh, I need to eat my vegetables? I'm going to have vegetables for the rest of my life. That's all I'm going to eat. Just vegetables, vegetables, vegetables. No. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, hey, you should mix in some vegetables into your dinner. The reason that is similar to what Chavez said is, as much as we hate the run prevention line from David Stearns, he could just say pitching and defense, which Chavez pointed out. You can't, if you're Eric Chavez, say, well, if you care about defense, if that's really what you care about, take Soto out for defense. He sucks defensively. Like, dude, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. You're not taking him out for defense. That's not smart. I don't care how much you care about defense. It's like Mike Piazza back in the day. We had Mike Piazza. He was a catcher. He wasn't great defensively. He was also slow as molasses. It used to drive me nuts. It's the one critique I actually have of the great Bobby Valentine is when he would pinch run for Mike Piazza late in the game or take him out of a game late. Mike Piazza should always be there just in case. So yes, Juan Soto is flawed defensively. Of course, we all now know or remember fresh in our brain what happened in the opening game of the series against Toronto, which brought you back to the 2015 World Series with Cespedes. I am not saying he's Roberto Clemente. Okay, I'm not defending his defense with this. I'm saying, dude, because you think the Mets are prioritizing defense, they're hypocrites if they're not taking Soto out for defense. Show some real leadership. Show some real leadership. It'd be stupid to take him out for defense. So I had to include that because that just drove me nuts. But this last Eric Chavez clip, I thought wasn't, it didn't piss me off. It was more fascinating. Billy Epler. Now, Billy Epler, remember, is the guy that brought Eric Chavez into this organization. And Eric Chavez said that the Mets would have been better off keeping Billy Epler as the general manager of this team. I think Billy's time here is very mixed. We still don't have the firm results of it because he's left this farm system with some pretty good players, including Nolan McLean, who twirled six scoreless innings on Tuesday night. So Billy did some good. He did some bad. He was certainly not perfect. But Eric Chavez is biased towards Billy Epler. He's a Billy Epler guy. He admitted that. Billy Epler's the guy who hired him. He loves Billy Epler. He thinks he's fantastic. Here he is talking about the quote-unquote hit job on Billy Epler that cost him his job with the Mets. Take a listen.
There was an inside hit job that got Billy fired. Complete BS situation. I'm not going to dive into that. But he had the right guy. Yes, go ahead.
So when you say a hit job, yeah. Right, like there were people actively playing politics behind the scenes, yep, to run him out. And was it Stearns that likely was the puppet master of that?
No,
so
no.
He could get all the control?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. He came into a situation that was, the fire was lit prior to him getting there. You know, I think Steve kind of knew, you know, that he wanted to go with Stearns. This was well documented. Grew up a New York Mets fans. I don't know why that would even matter. They don't have the greatest of history of love and winning. And
yeah, sure.
So
no,
I'm not sure that was the right, you know,
yeah. Part of
Was that necessary? Do I need to hear? Well, they don't exactly have the greatest of histories. Yeah, I think that Stearns being a Met fan is overrated, just like Cohen being a Met fan is overrated. It's nice. It adds to the story. But no, that's not the reason you should hire him. I like the fact that he didn't put this at the feet of David Stearns. He was blaming him for a lot of other stuff, but did not claim he was the A Brutai in the Billy Epler situation. But we still don't have kind of an answer to what happened with Billy Epler. I mean, he got fired for a very weak reason. Remember, it was the illegal use of the injured list for non-injured players, right? The Phantom IL, which we all still talk about and joke about, and yet it cost him his job with the New York Mets. He was going to remain on in the front office under David Stearns. And it would have made sense if Eric Chavez said, yeah, it was Stearns. He's the one who stabbed him in the back, but clearly exonerates him from it and says that the politics were going on before that. So that kind of rekindled my interest in what the hell happened to Billy Epler. Hoff, I ask you, as someone who is obviously not a David Stearns supporter, there aren't many walking the earth right now, what is your grand conclusion from what Eric Chavez had to say?
I mean, I like Eric Chavez, which is weird. I think I agree with a lot of the philosophy issues that he had. I've been listening to him a lot since the beginning of him being fired, basically. Like, I'll never take a job again where there's more than one hitting coach because there were so many different philosophies going on. It was all contradicting. So I like him. I like his transparency. Is he bitter? Yes. There's something there. He's definitely got issues with Stearns. He doesn't like him, and rightfully so. I don't like Stearns. So, I mean, I get it. At the end of the day, did he say anything that was groundbreaking? I don't think so.
That's, I don't think so either.
I think we all knew this. We've all known this. There's still an issue. That's the conclusion I have.
Yeah, and I thought it was important to listen and be honest. If we take anything out of it, if you consider this a waste of time, great news. Never listen to this Rico edition again. We have another edition coming up in 24 hours in which we'll talk Mets Blue Jays. I think that there were some interesting things that he said. The Juan Soto story got a lot of attention. The conclusion I draw from this, if I do draw any conclusion, is that the hire of the next manager is actually really important. As someone that's kind of downplayed the manager, as I have over the years, I think that they need a true experienced leader in this room. I think that's going to be really important. And I think Alex Cora certainly is the guy that fits that. But no, I don't think there was anything else groundbreaking. He gave a lot of strong opinions on David Stearns. Look, the moves haven't worked. That's the bottom line. That's why we're in the position we're in. So
it was worth listening to. I do think, yes, there are times in which there's that bias that he has about the way he lost his job and the pay cut and all that. But there's a little to learn. And the number one thing I learned, if anything, is that I think the manager needs to be a strong leader. I would certainly endorse somebody that has experience. But your thoughts out there on what you heard from Eric Chavez, you can always email us, thericob@gmail.com, thericob@gmail.com. We'll get back to baseball in the next edition of The Rico. We'll break down the Mets-Blue Jays series and look ahead as we slowly but surely get to the end of the unofficial first half of the baseball season. Thank you very much for checking out another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.